This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Thompson gets it back off a screen by Looney and buried a fading jumper on the left side.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. There was a lot of excitement yesterday when Corey broke the Klay Thompson to the Mavericks news. We're excited about it. A whole lot of folks are excited about the Klay Thompson move. However, when we talked about it on social media, or put posts up on social media, or we got feedback on our Facebook page, the KNC Masterpiece with an ampersand, there were a decent amount of people that think this is a bad move.
Fantex has been that way too.
Because they think, and it seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong then, Corey, it seems like the overwhelming majority of people who feel that way just think that Klay Thompson has nothing
washed
left. Okay. So I just wanted to start the conversation and talk about it from there and maybe get some more feedback from folks who think this is a bad move for the Mavericks.
I would like to put a prediction out there, by the way. This is the year that Klay Thompson finally puts it all together.
Mm. I feel like he's pretty good for a while, though, right? Like a really long time.
I'm interested. I don't even know what to say until I hear the why this is a bad move situation.
So some of the feedback I've seen and some of the line of thinking,
he's
is,
not the defensive player that you think you're getting. And I know that's exactly true.
We all know that.
I know what I'm getting.
I think the question then becomes, like, how much do you know what you're getting? Because one of the things that we realized very quickly, or that we knew, is that Luka Doncic, you know that he's not anywhere near an elite defender, right? He raised the level of his play during the course of the season defensively. But even then, right, like we saw Brian Windhorst get on TV during the course of the finals and lambast his defensive effort. And that's something that's not new, but it reached a new height during the course of this offseason. Kyrie Irving is a guy that we know has, you know, he's not a big size. And I know that he can kind of get some steals here and there, but there are ways that you could take advantage of him. And it felt like we all kind of came to an agreement that defensively, in order for this team to be successful, you need those guys on the floor. So you need to surround them with dudes that could play at as high of a defensive level as possible. And I think that people are then questioning, if you're not getting the Klay Thompson that was prior, the elite defensive, stopper on the perimeter, what level of, and I keep using the word degradation, like what level of kind of step back are you seeing? Because is it a step back to the point where you're at a similar level as Kyrie and Luka, where, you know, hey, they're giving great effort, but they can be attacked? Because then you have three guys in that place where you're maybe worried about them. And then the idea of the team defensive construct, is it enough to carry three guys that teams might go after in some ways? I think that ends up being the question that, Corey, I think you're trying to highlight there.
From 2012 until 2017, he had a defensive rating no lower than 108, right? Every time.
Which is probably top 5% in the NBA.
Yes. Yeah. Over the last 2 years, 116, last year 117. So for him.
Is that average? I don't know.
Well, it's also worth noting the defensive rating. We don't really have great individual defensive metrics. In fact, we don't really have great defensive metrics in general, but individual really especially. And so defensive rating, the individual rating is still going to matter somewhat about the team construct.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that is still some of what we're talking about.
That's still a significant drop off from it for that number for him. And I think it's a little less than average, by the way, Mike. It's a little bit less than average.
So what did they want the Mavs to do? They wanted them to just bring back the same team and not do anything?
I don't have an answer to that because
they wanted a $50 million two-way player that's like the best in the, like they wanted LeBron James?
Yes.
Well, I don't know how we were supposed to do that.
Right.
Not going to happen. Here's one person from the 972. Seeing the way the move shook out, I don't feel this way. I won't lie. Sucks to get rid of Josh Green. And then from the 682, Klay Thompson is old and busted. It's the old and busted part that comes up more, at least what I've seen, than anything else.
And I've seen this time after time after time again over the last 2 days, Kevin, pointing to his 0 for 10 in the elimination game. And that specifically, where he played 30 minutes and did a Tim Hardaway. You know, like, you're just like, what?
That's going to happen.
And I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if that was attitude. Or
he's at the age where that could happen. If they would have played a 7-game series, I don't think he would have gone 0 of 70 from the field. I don't think so, but maybe, I guess he would have.
Before that, just real quick, before that, their last 4 games of the regular season, he went 6 for 12, 3 for 9, 5 for 10, and 6 for 13. 3 of those you would love to have. And so I hear you. And there was another game earlier in the year where I think he went like 1 for 7 and maybe 1 for 9. But there are plenty of others where it's 5 for 10, 6 for 14, 6 for 11.
In the month of April, he averaged 23 points on 50% shooting and 44% three-point shooting. Does that sound like a guy who's wasted and done that he shot? I'll give you the exact numbers. 49.6% from the field. 43.7% on 10.1 attempts from 3 per game, 100% on free throws. He didn't miss one.
Hell yeah.
He had 3 rebounds, 3.3, 2.7 assists, 1.7 turnovers, 1 steal on 23.1 points a game in 7 games in the month of April. Does that sound like a guy who's wasted? Now, how about this for Josh Green fans? And I get it. Josh Green is a solid role player in the NBA. How many games did Josh Green play last year? At his age, man, he's healthy. He's good to go, man. This dude, Josh Green, played in 57 games last year. Klay Thompson played in 77.
Yeah.
He literally played in 20 more games than Josh Green. And Josh Green played in 60 games the year before. He's a hurt player. Josh Green, to me, is a guy who can only play right now. Now, that can change. He's a younger guy. But he's a guy who's going to have to miss 20 to 25 games a year because his body has not proven to be NBA worthy of playing an NBA regular season. It just hasn't in the last 2 years.
I am concerned a little bit about attitude. If attitude was a problem for him the last year, if he was hurt and offended by them and it just wasn't getting the full production from him, and how does that change? Because I think attitude is the only thing that you can really control. That's what we always hear and say, is you can control that. You can't control everything else, but you can control how you go do your work and how you go out about your business. And so if he shows up here, I feel like the culture is very good right now for the Mavericks. Obviously, coming off being there, having that, now adding pieces that are giving you energy, I feel like it's good. Individually, I just don't know exactly where he's going to be mentally.
It was a trade. But he chose us.
He did.
That is not a person who's going to come in with a, what the crap is my contract here? He chose us. He chose less years. He chose less money to be a Dallas Maverick. He has had a great attitude throughout his career. He could have had a really crappy attitude. Richard Jefferson pointed out yesterday on his show on ESPN that, man, he was concerned about his attitude on Christmas Day playing for the Golden State Warriors, that he was not happy with his role, not happy with his contract, and he let it be known on Christmas Day to his former teammate.
There was also a reporter in San Francisco that, and I wish I could remember what his name was, but he pointed out, he said, look, man, it wasn't like Draymond. But behind the scenes, there were some very awkward moments. So, and that, again, that could be attitude from being unhappy about the that situation.
I did watch Locked On Mavs this morning, actually, but I think they did posted it last
night.
Good
decision.
They have a lady who is Locked On Warriors, okay? And she rolled her eyes at Draymond and Klay are the same issues in that organization.
Huh.
She was like, I cover this team. BS. Like, there is not anywhere close to the issues. Yes, Klay has his moments. It ain't close to Draymond Green. This is like saying, she didn't say this. This is like saying, man, we have the same issues with Michael Jordan and Dennis Rodman. Now, does Michael Jordan at times probably do some things that you're not crazy about on the 98 Bulls? But sure. You're not having to deal with him getting high and drunk with Carmen Electra in Vegas for 10 straight days.
Or doing wrestling stuff.
And I'm not saying that's what Draymond did, but I think comparing those two is just silly. For the money that he's making.
Yes.
For what he did last year, like, wow. And the money that's paid in the NBA today at what he's making is about league average. He's a hair above league average what you're paying him. So if he plays at league average, you're actually getting your money's worth.
Now, outside of attitude and monetary stuff.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I saw this brought up, and I was kind of intrigued and wanted to pick y'all's brain about this. The Mavericks, as we talked about in the past, they have a heliocentric system of offense, right? And so that means Klay Thompson has the potential to get plenty of open shots, but it also feels like a different role than he's totally used to. I know he's used to catch and shoot, but not necessarily just standing in a place and waiting for the shot the whole time. I'm curious y'all's thoughts about that.
Well, I want to try to get to Tim McMahon as fast as we can here because he's like, look, if Tim Hardaway Jr. got shots in this system, then you better be damn straight.
No, I know he'll get shots. I'm just curious how comfortable he will be with that rhythm.
I won't go off on my opinion, and then Corey,
I have this here.
You can let's play Tim, and then I'll give you my opinion on what the lady said on Locked On Warriors.
And the question was asked to him: how will Klay transition from that Warriors motion offense to this current Mavs offense?
Well, number one, I'm not going to try to match X's and O's wits with Tim Legler, right? I think he probably is going to be able to have a bit of advantage on me in that regard. But look, they're going to get Klay shots. Yep. Like, if Tim Hardaway Jr. got a bunch of shots when he was on the floor, trust me, Klay Thompson's going to touch the ball. Klay Thompson's going to get not just three-point looks, but in a lot of cases, clean three-point looks. And you know, if you're running pick and roll, Luka and Lively and Clay's on the weak side, like that seems like it could be pretty tough. The one thing that the Mavericks did last year that honestly I didn't believe would happen, Jake had told us it was going to happen in training camp. I'm like, yeah, right. And it did. And that was they played fast. They were the seventh fastest paced team in the league, which, you know, I was like, not playing fast with Luka, but Luka bought into it. And my point is, if they're playing fast, if they're pushing it, there's going to be threes that present themselves and opportunities that present themselves to Klay in those transition, semi-transition. And look, will they? If he hadn't touched in a while, will they sometimes run a play for him? Absolutely. You know, they didn't go out and recruit Klay just to have him, you know, stand out on the wing and pick his nose. Mm-hmm. But stylistically, it's going to be, like, I'm sure there will be an adjustment for him. But again, I think
let me stop it right there. I like that answer, and I thought the second part answered it more than the first part, because like I know he'll get open shots, and oddly enough, last year he was a better shooter the tighter the defensive coverage got, as opposed to wide open versus tight defense. And so I have no doubt he'll get the shots. But I like the second part of the answer when they talk about there will be plenty of opportunity to get it still in the flow that he's used to as well.
I'm not sure how many different plays you have for Derrick Jones Jr., but I feel like you can come up with a number of different plays for him to come off screens. And here's one of the numbers I saw yesterday, Mike, was the Mavs last year were 26th shooting off screens, 26th or 27th shooting off of screens. They were miserable at it. And Clay last year was 41% shooting off of screens whenever he's coming off of a screen, which the Mavericks couldn't do. They didn't have that in their bag. And now they can develop something like that. So that's and the one thing that the Boston Celtics absolutely took away from the Mavericks was the corner three, because they said, and J.J. Redick pointed out multiple times, try and make one from above the break. And Clay Thompson can make shots from above. Like, we know, we've seen it. So he has things. He has a toolkit that certain players on the team didn't have last year. That the Maverick or the opponent said, "We're going to force you to not be able to do your good stuff." And they said, "We don't have an answer for it." Then,
all right. So nobody in the NBA's ran more miles in his time than Klay Thompson. He runs like a madman.
Yeah.
Do we want him doing that from 37 years old or 30? No, we don't.
Yeah.
The answer is absolutely not. And so the
But do you want him just standing still, I guess, would be my alternate question.
He's not just going to stand still.
Okay.
Like, he's just not. Even the other guys, yes, they stand still at times, but he's not just going to stand there in the corner, just like
he also
Tim
knows,
McMahon said. He's not just going to pick his nose.
Yeah, he also knows spaces to get open. He sees it better than other people.
He will know. Now, it'll take some time, right? This is where it'll take a little bit of time.
Yes.
Where does Luka, because Luka does passes where he just expects you to be in certain spots and then gets pissed off at you if you're not in that spot. And at times it's probably the player's fault. At times it's probably Luka's fault, but he likes at times just yelling at the guy for not being where he threw the no-look pass that you weren't at. But I do think as you age, you are going to not want to just, if you go watch Klay Thompson in his prime or even after he came back from, you're like, damn, that MF-er ain't going to stop, is he?
Yeah.
But now he doesn't have to run that much, which can keep him maybe a little bit more fresher. The other thing, too, is his role in Golden State was you have to be our second best scorer or we're not going to win. Well, at times he just wasn't good enough to do it, and that's why they found themselves in a play-in situation and out in the play-in. True. Because he wasn't good enough. So I will agree with anybody who wants to say he's not good enough to be the helper to Luka. You are correct. If you need him to be your second best player, you're in a deep crap situation. But he's not even going to be asked to be that here. And you have an alley-oop situation that Golden State had zero alley-oop situation. So you have that situation still here. You have the best offensive player in the world on your team. You have another dude who averaged 25 points on the team who's still a pretty damn good one-on-one player, especially in most situations. Yes, if we play Boston, we're pretty screwed in that situation. Luckily, we're not playing Boston for 82 straight games in the regular season.
Damn right.
So I just don't, I don't get it. I don't get what they wanted the Mavs to do here.
Hey, can we play cut six real quick, too? This was Antonio Daniels with Sean and RJ this morning, and I thought this was, this kind of got me hyped up.
It's not like he's a rookie.
Yeah.
You know, Najee's been in this league for a while. So he's sat, he's watched. He's learned through vision, and when the opportunity has presented itself, he has made the most of it. This past year in New Orleans, he only started one game. 2 years prior to, he started a numerous amount of games, 20-plus games, and almost averaged 15 points per game in those starts. So, like, again, this a lot of times things are based on, like, do I know this guy? Like, is this guy a household name? And just because a guy is not a household name doesn't mean that he cannot impact your organization. Najee Marshall is a heck of a dude, one. He was the toughest guy on the New Orleans Pelicans team last year, since he's been here. He has been the enforcer in New Orleans, which is wild to say because we're used to enforcers being Charles Oakley or Dale Davis or Antonio Davis. Najee Marshall, 6'5", 6'6", and is one of the toughest guys. I can guarantee you this. Nobody will be pushing Luka around. 100%.
I like that, that part too. So in addition to adding this great spot up 3-point shooter, you also added somebody that'll put their chest up in your face and say, you're not going to do that to our star guy. And you're not going to let Lou Dort be tackling Luka out on the court out there.
Kevin, here's my question. You sound like you're not happy about getting Klay Thompson.
No, I mean, if we're all just sitting around here like idiots, all agreeing with each other, that's a stupid segment. So I'm trying to bring the alternate point of view. And if you want to...
What's your point of view?
My point of view is I actually do largely agree with you, but I'm also trying to present what other people are saying. And one of the things, if we go back to Tim McMahon, he said at best, Klay was an average defender, right, but more than likely a below average... You disagree with
no,
that?
No, I'm not disagreeing with that.
Or more likely a below average defender. So I'm just bringing up all of the counterpoints of people who don't like it. I told you yesterday... I like this move.
Two-way players cost $40 million a year to $60 million a year in the future of the NBA. Now it's 40 to 50, but it will be 40 to 60. And I get Luke is not, but he's the best offensive player. But if you want two-way players in the NBA that are premium players, which I'd love for Klay to still be a premium player. It would just cost you about $40 million a year on a four-year contract.
Yeah.
And he's an average on one side. He's an elite IQ defensive player. He does not have the same foot speed and everything that you need.
Sure.
Neither did Jason Kidd in 2011. He wasn't making all NBA defensive teams by the time he got to the Mavs the second time around. But I think we would still say solid defensive player, especially if we're comparing him to Jason Terry and Dirk Nowitzki. You know, and you had those two guys on the court at the end. I know the game has changed and everything, but no, I just wanted to. I get you're just presenting questions, yeah. But you're coming across as like you weren't happy with this move now today, where I thought you were happy with it. So I was like,
no,
crap,
I'm
this
changed. I'm happy with it.
Mike, here's what happened. A long time ago, Mike Napoli came back to the Rangers, and Kevin was like, look, it's not the same Mike Napoli that you expected. And everybody was like, shut the hell up, Kevin. What are you doing right now? This is Mike freaking Napoli we're talking about. Mike Napoli chance started coming in on the text, and Kevin was like, I'm just trying to tell y'all, it's not the same Mike Napoli. And guess what happened that year? He wasn't the same Mike Napoli, but he was all right. But the hype level was so high because Mike Napoli was back. And Kevin, right now, I think it's about split on people that are super excited about it. Ooh. And people that are like, nah, it's messed up. He's a six man at best for you. Like, I've seen lots of different thoughts on that.
I don't agree with that. I was just presenting because you asked what were those other people's arguments. I just wanted to present what I'm seeing as their arguments. I like the move. Look, I told you at the very beginning of the show, you turned a $5 million taxpayer exemption into all this stuff. You got younger in certain spots. You got more contract friendly in certain spots. I like what the Mavericks have done.
You think he's better than Mike Napoli?
Because they went and they go get Mavericks. That's why.
I'm not going to say that. You already have the other one, and I have to talk to Boach tomorrow.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.